Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody, time to get to work. We got a grassroots update from Scott Pressler. We're doing a lot with him at Turning Point Action, tpaction.com. That is tpaction.com. And one of the most humiliating stories, sad stories, but boy, we focus on it. Canada. Oh, Canada. Honoring Nazis. Oh, Canada. Honoring SS members. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, everybody, time to get to work. Do the hard work. Every single one of you should become a precinct committeeman. Every single one of you should need to do grassroots work. If Donald Trump just does 3 to 5 votes better per precinct in Arizona, he wins Arizona. That is a fact. Joining us now is Scott Pressler, who is doing the work to help save the Republic, founder of Early Vote Action. Scott, welcome to the program. Give us an update. What are you seeing on the ground? What is the work that is necessary for us to win in 2024?
Thank you, Charlie. Well, you know, despite Democratic Governor Shapiro in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania instituting the automatic voter registration, we got data from the last week. Republicans still gaining over Democrats despite this strategy of the governor. We're seeing gains in Kentucky, Louisiana, all across the country. People are joining the Republican Party. But as we saw from a poll that recently showed Joe Biden being down by 10 points, guys, I hate to say it, polls don't matter. Votes matter. Getting ballots into boxes matter. And 2022 was supposed to be a red tsunami. We were supposed to have Republicans gain in the House, gain in the Senate. And so clearly, we can't take our feet off the pedal, and we have to make sure that we're becoming PCs, joining the Republican Party, registering voters, and this is very important, getting out in this November's elections, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. We have elections this November.
Yes. And so let's focus on Wisconsin in particular. How do we look? What are we seeing on the ground in Wisconsin? There was a very big story here breaking. Wisconsin Supreme Court bans absentee drop boxes. Walk through this. What's going on?
Well, that's accurate, Charlie. However, I want people to keep in mind that it was the former conservative justices that instituted that ban, and the Democrats are already suing now that the liberals have taken over and we have Janet Protasiewicz on the bench. So just because we've had this small victory, just realize that we need to be constantly pursuing that the Democrats are going to sue. They're going to have litigation. And Joe Biden only, I say this very loosely, won the state of Wisconsin by 20,000 votes in 2020. And so we must register new voters. I just saw something by Nathan Trueblood the other day saying that there are 1 million unregistered voters in the state of Wisconsin, and 40% of hunters are not registered to vote. Guys, we have the votes in the state, but we must make sure that they're registered at their current address. And for our truckers, police officers, firefighters, pilots, for people that won't be in town on Election Day in November of 2024, we must encourage them to either get an absentee ballot or to vote early in person if we're going to win the state of Wisconsin.
So let's go through state by state. Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin. Which of those three do you think that we are in the best place, and which of those are we in the worst place?
I think Georgia is probably in the best place. I would put Wisconsin in the middle, and I would put Arizona as probably the state that needs the most love and attention. And it's not because we don't have the numbers. It's not because we don't have the enthusiasm. But I think people saw what happened to Carrie Lake. I think they saw what was criminal, what happened on Election Day. And so I'm so glad that we have organizations like yours, Charlie, headquartered in Arizona to continue that enthusiasm bump. But people need to know that we can win in Arizona. But here's one very important thing. In Arizona, we have something called the presidential preference election. In normal primaries, independent voters can choose whether to have a Democratic or Republican ballot. But in the PPE, the presidential preference election, you must be registered as a Republican to vote for your Republican candidate. So my fear, Charlie, is that in the state of Arizona, we're going to have this huge group of independents that are going to go to vote next year, only to be told that they can't participate in the election. And so we must use our voices to let Arizonans know they need to register as a Republican for next year.
How the Democrats, Joe Biden's a disaster, but talk about what we are seeing. Are they continually funding ballot chasers, voter reg, the boring stuff? Have the Democrats continued that sort of infrastructure building?
You know, they have, Charlie, but they do it in a different way. The Democratic Party of Pennsylvania is in shambles. They don't have money. They had to fire staffers in July of 2023. And in fact, they printed out thousands of voter cards telling people to vote on November 8th of this year, a day after Election Day. And so the Democratic Party, it's not that they're wonderful. It's not that they're competent. They actually don't have as much money as Republicans. But you hit the nail on the head. It's the NGOs. It's the 501c3s. It's the C4s. They're doing all the legwork. And those are the organizations that are getting the money. And I have to say, where are the staffers by the RNC and GOP? The Democrats, I read an article, are putting $20 million into a voter registration operation. We must have organizations like Turning Point Action, like my organization, Early Vote Action, that are being funded if we're going to be able to compete with the Democrats.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more about that NGO infrastructure. It's outside, it's non-party money, it's hard to track. I mean, we at Turning Point USA have a 501c3 and we have a 501c4. At the C3, we are so careful because we know that it's prohibited from any political involvement. Anybody around Turning Point USA will tell you how carefully we follow those rules. We follow them precisely. We have a 501c4 for a reason. The C4 is harder to raise money because it's non-deductible, and that's basically the reason, so you don't get a tax advantage. But talk about how the 501c3s in particular are really pushing the boundary of legal operations in these states, and they're flooding in from the Soros Foundation, from the Rockefeller Foundation, from the Tides Foundation, from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, from Lorene Powell Jobs Emerson Collective to Reid Hoffman, Aspen Institute. Talk about that, Scott. And this is very hard to track. For example, when Mark Zuckerberg did the Center for Technology for Civic Life, that was all 501c3 dollars, tax deductible, a $400 million contribution. Scott, tell us more about it.
Well, many of these 501c3s are operating, as you said, under the guise of being nonpartisan, but it's anything but. And so that's why it's important that we're passing legislation in states like I believe Texas has done, Florida has done, that stop things like the quote-unquote Zuckerbucks of allowing that out-of-election money to interfere into our elections. But look at what's happening at the border. We have these NGOs that are allowing the invaders to keep on coming into our country. And then on top of that, we have groups, even like the churches, I hate to say it, we have churches that are then taking care of illegal immigrants after the NGOs bring them into our country. And all of these groups are operating. They have data like Eric. And that's why it's important that we're having states finally take ourselves out of those machineries to make sure that we're protecting the process.
It's so important. Let's put this up on screen if we can, please. I don't know if we have it handy, which is just the web of Democrat get out the vote machinery all in one picture. Look at that right there on Real America's Voice and on live stream. We're going to put this on. I think we have it on charliekirk.com. But this is voter contact, volunteer deployment, organizing tools, research, data analytics and modeling, voter engagement, volunteer and activist mobilization, fundraising. If we get our act together, if we're able to chase some ballots, how significantly can we curtail their machinery advantage?
I say without hesitation, if we set up the infrastructure now to do voter registration, to do ballot chasing, to do early voting, to push an all of the above approach going into 2024, you hear me loudly and clearly. We do have the ability to defeat Joe Biden and to elect an entirely Republican government next year.
I think that if we are, so the Democrats are an unpopular regime. They're 5 to 7 points unpopular with the everyday people. But they close that gap, in my estimation. They're able to get anywhere between 5 to 8 points of just muscle votes funded by rich oligarchs by 45 days of early voting. If we can make their competitive advantage a 2-point boost instead of a 7-point boost, they're done. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Scott, I want you to editorialize for a second here. How important is early money? So let's say that I was a donor, okay? And I'm into this whole Ron DeSantis thing. Again, great governor, 100% behind him as governor. He's not been a successful presidential candidate. We got to get behind Trump. We got to build the infrastructure. Okay, so but let's pretend I was a donor and I have $10 million set aside to try and impact the 2024 election. Okay, I know a couple donors like this. If they were to wait from a year from now, Scott, and all of a sudden they call Turning Point or they call Scott and they say, hey guys, I have $10 million bucks. Or if they gave you $5 million today, which would make a bigger difference?
$5 million today, right now. And I mean, think about it. That donor, if you're listening right now, whoever your candidate is, I tell you, if you spend that money now on making sure that we have staffers on the ground doing voter contact in Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, if we had that $5 million donation right at this very moment, we will be much more prepared to actually win than you calling in September of next year. Because think about it, I'm in Virginia. We have 45 days of early voting. Pennsylvania has 50 days of early voting. When people get inspired to help campaigns in September of an election year, the election by and large is already decided. The voters have already made up their minds. If we are going to win and have the opportunity to actually defeat Joe Biden and make him a one-term president, then we need people to invest now so we can do those things like do the ballot chase, setting up the voter registration, and getting precinct chairs to make sure that we're prepared.
Yeah, and this is so important. And just so everybody's clear, and Scott, I'm sure you experienced this, like clockwork, every election cycle through our 501c4 and Turning Point PAC, 10 days out from the election, I start getting phone calls from donors that are then motivated. 10 days out from the election, Scott. And I always tell them, like, look, we'll deploy the money the best we can through text message campaigns, but that's even too late to even get on TV, right? And this happens every single time where Republican donors tend to fund late, Democrat donors tend to fund early, where early money is far more impactful, far more valuable. We need it 10 months ahead of time. Really, we need it more than that, not 10 days ahead of time. Because, Scott, how are we even going to source the people, hire the people, give them the technology to do the work? Let's be generous. Let's say 2 months. Even if it's a 60-day lead time, Scott, that's not enough.
Well, or let's bring it back to now, 2023. If you want to make a significant impact on winning next year, then you please help me elect Daniel Cameron as governor in Kentucky. You help elect Jeff Landry as governor of Louisiana this year. And you help Governor Glenn Youngkin take the House of Delegates and state Senate, because you hear me loudly and clearly. If we give Governor Glenn Youngkin control of the entire legislature going into 2024 next year, Virginia will be in play to elect a Republican president. So I'm asking people to invest their time, invest their talent, time, and treasure into the elections that we're having this year in 2023, because that will have a significant national impact on what happens next year in 2024.
That's well said. And we have to plant the seeds now. And Scott, I must be so irritating to you. Forget the DeSantis thing, because I don't want to put you on the spot on that, because I don't know how you feel. But let's just say it must be frustrating to see $500 million be spent on a Republican primary when we're getting slaughtered in the grassroots.
It's evident that Republicans are getting behind one candidate in the primary. And I want people to remember what we're here for. We are freedom fighters. We're fighting for liberty. We're against tyranny. Let's all swim in the same direction, no matter who you're supporting, knowing that our ultimate goal is to defeat Joe Biden and make him a one-term president. I'm hopeful that we can coalesce. And all of these donors that are investing in the candidates, with all due respect, why don't you instead invest in voter registration, invest in ballot harvesting, invest in ballot chasing? Because ultimately, that money that you put into infrastructure will help make sure that we're ultimately winning with our candidate.
And I will say, we have a growing list of donors at Turning Point Action that are really starting to get it. They are putting money. It's not enough yet. We don't yet have the oligarch guys writing the eight-figure checks. But, you know, we're starting to raise more money, hire more people. We have 75 full-time people. We're going to hire another 50, hopefully, very soon. Tyler's doing great. We're deploying money through your thing, Scott. It's going to be really good. So donors are starting to get it. In fact, please, on Politico.com, they say big donors are done giving money to DeSantis and Nikki Haley. They're going to sit this one out. Guys, start deploying your money on the boring stuff. The boring stuff will be the most exciting stuff when you get invited to Donald Trump's inauguration as the 47th president of the United States. Scott, thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425. Or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. We have not touched on this story in months. It's been months since we have talked about our neighbors to the north. Growing up, Canada was a decent country. Super polite, nice people. But now, Canada, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It seems to have completely fallen. It is a authoritarian, tyrannical country mixed with the worst of all the trans stuff, the worst of all of the alphabet mafia. Canada's national identity is basically a more Marxist America, and the liberals in America are nuts. So where do you go from there? Well, joining us now is Ezra Levant. I want to first kind of just enjoy in the embarrassment from the Canadian Parliament, where they honored a Nazi, not an exaggeration, from Rebel News. And then I want to talk just about how did Canada fall so quickly? What are the lessons here? And what are things that might have been done differently? Ezra, thank you for taking the time. Tell us about what happened at the Canadian Parliament, where they're honoring a Nazi?
It's unbelievable. So Vladimir Zelensky was in town on Friday, and Justin Trudeau embraced him as he always did. It is very much like Joe Biden in that regard, just utterly committed to Zelensky, which you can have a debate about that. But what I think is not debatable is that for some weird reason, the Liberal government invited into the parliament an actual 98-year-old Nazi SS officer who sneaked into Canada about 70 years ago after the war by lying about what he had done in the war. His name was Yaroslav Hunka, and he was part of the 14th SS battalion. He lied. He said he was part of the 1st Ukrainian battalion. So he got into Canada, led a very low-key existence, hoping that the Mossad Nazi hunters would catch him. And then out of the blue, he's 98. He gets an invitation to parliament. And he's introduced not as a Nazi, but as a Ukrainian-Canadian war hero. So most people, I mean, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. They had no idea who this guy was. He was introduced as a war hero. They applauded. They just said he fought the Russians. But think about it, Charlie. Who was fighting the Russians in the 40s? That was Hitler. And again, this guy wasn't conscript. He volunteered to join the SS. He would have been one of the guys doing the special political violence, going after Jews, checking in the attics, shooting resistance leaders.
Goodness.
And they jumped to their feet and applauded. And they almost got away with it because not a single person in the mainstream media said, hang on, fighting Russia in the 40s, a Ukrainian war hero, which team was he on? Anyhow, people on Twitter, including myself, dug a little deeper. And over the weekend, we put irrefutable facts forward and started nudging the opposition and nudging, frankly, Holocaust memorial groups to weigh in. And finally, they did yesterday. And the dam broke. But Trudeau, he's blaming it on the Speaker of the House as if he didn't vet everyone in the room. Quick point, Charlie. This would be like during a State of the Union address when the president gives a shout out to this veteran or that person and they stand up and the camera pans over a highly scripted event. Don't tell me for one second that Trudeau didn't know who he was. Trudeau's saying, I don't know who did that. That's crazy. And Trudeau took the day off today so he doesn't have to answer any questions.
I mean, this is like a bad Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where, right, Larry David comes in and says, guys, I found this freedom fighter. He's the best. He dedicated his life to killing Russians. He's done it for years. Let's honor him.
That's exactly what it's like, but it's one level worse because Trudeau's go-to insult for everyone who disagrees with him is to call them a Nazi. He even calls black MPs and Jewish MPs Nazis.
Yes.
Seriously, there's an MP. I mean, Leslyn Lewis is a black MP. Melissa Lansman, who's a Jewish MP, both have been called Nazis by Trudeau's government. Obviously, not true.
So first,
and it's him who brought the Nazis.
This is a Jewish High Holy Weekend, by the way. It's Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. And they're bringing, I'm going to play the piece of tape here. If it wasn't so just disgusting and sick, I mean, the only way I can cope with this is to make fun of it. Which is, here are these people that allegedly make their whole life about fighting right-wing fascism. Here's this guy. They honored. He was active in the Waffen SS. He was an SS guy. This was not just some sort of enlisted person who was drafted and thrown on the front lines. This was a guy, as you say, was like Christoph Waltz in Inglourious Basterds. Okay? He walked into people's homes to kill Jews. And is now honored by the Canadian Parliament. Play cut 35.
We have here in the chamber today Ukrainian Canadian world veteran from the Second World War who fought the Ukrainian independence against the Russians and continues to support the troops today, even at his age of 98.
Wait a second. Did no one in the audience say, wait, hold on, let me do some math. He's 98 and he fought the Russians. So that would make him a Nazi. Let's just kind of like put this together. So who fought the Russians? Well, America didn't fight the Russians. The Axis fought the Russians. But There's a lot to that. There's so many layers to this, Ezra, and I just can't help but just dive right into it, because these are the worst of all people. They make their entire political movement up fighting fascism, fighting this, and they can't even just read a biography or do some very simple math. That is how captured these people. Okay, I got to get this. Let's go to this one. He receives the award. Again, I don't throw around the term Nazi, Ezra, nor do you. Like, I really, really don't, okay? We should save that term for real Nazis, people that served in the SS. Play cut 54.
Zelensky's speech received at least a dozen standing ovations. There was also one for this man, a 98-year-old Ukrainian-Canadian who fought for Ukrainian independence against the Russians during the Second World War.
Ezra, you got to take it from here.
You know, next to him, I don't know if you could see that, but standing a couple of seats away was the leadership of Canada's military. Surely they, in their head, were thinking, okay, you were fighting for Ukraine's independence in the mid-40s. That actually didn't really happen, other than if you're reading, like, imagine the wording trickery, the word smithery. And that guy, he was saying, yes, I'm vindicated. Like, after World War II, a lot of Nazis went to South America. And the Mossad Nazi hunters caught a few of them and kidnapped them, brought them back to Israel for trial, like Adolf Eichmann. This guy was keeping a really low profile in a small town in Canada. And all of a sudden, he's redeemed. He's thinking, Adolf would be so proud of me. And he, for one moment, he felt, you know, maybe like his whole life of hiding wasn't necessary. Just nuts. Just crazy. Total Seinfeld moment, if it weren't so serious.
Well, yeah, it's also, again, this guy probably himself killed Jews or put Jewish families on train cars. But here's the deeper point, though. They didn't think twice about this, because there are actual Nazis serving in the Ukrainian military. Zelensky, I'm not saying Zelensky is a Nazi, but the Azov Battalion have actual Nazis, Ezra. So this isn't that distant. And understand that Vladimir Putin, when he rallies the Russian base, and I'm not making defense of Putin by any means, he does say we're fighting Nazis. That, if you read Russian propaganda, if you read Kremlin state media, okay, which I don't make a habit out of it, but every so often I come across, I'm interested in what they're saying. Putin domestically says we're fighting Nazis. Good job, Trudeau. You just gave Putin everything he possibly wanted, right, Ezra?
Absolutely. In fact, Russia Today, RT, has been publishing article article about this. The Russian foreign ministry has put out statements. You're so right. It absolutely is being used as an argument by Russia, and it's an own goal. The crazy thing is that no one in the establishment even said a word until yesterday. 48 hours went by, and it was only when independent journalists on Twitter made a fuss about it. There are thousands of mainstream journalists in Canada. Not one of them showed any curiosity or any interest, or if they found something weird, they didn't say a word. That shows an unhealthy political situation in Canada.
Well, yeah, and they didn't notice, because it's just a rubber stamp in Canadian Parliament. And Ezra, to your credit at Rebel News, it took independent journalists to pressure this. The Anti-Defamation League has come out, and they say that the Ukraine's Azov Battalion no longer far right. I don't like doing this, Ezra, but I have to do this, which is the following. I don't like saying, could you imagine if Trump did this? But I'm going to say this. Could you imagine at a Trump State of the Union, to your point, Ezra, if Donald J. Trump honored someone who served in the Waffen SS in World War II? It would be a presidency ender. I mean, like, I'm not exaggerating. That would be a presidency ender. Right, Ezra?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, of course, remember the one of the longest serving Democratic senators in history, Senator Byrd from West Virginia, got his start in the KKK. So I think that there's a double standard out there, and it's not a good look.
Yeah, and it's not hypocrisy, it's hierarchy. They think they can just get away with it. Like, oh, oops, we didn't vet his background. No, 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 no. If the conservatives in Canada really want to exploit a weakness, I guarantee you somebody, an intern, a research assistant, has text message or emails that knew. Put them under oath. I could just imagine. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out The Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. I have great respect for what Jews are doing today. They are engaging what is called the Day of Atonement. And I think that all people, Jewish, Christian, or whatever, should go through this sort of exercise. I think it's really healthy, where for an entire day, you do not drink and you do not eat, and you spend an entire day thinking and reflecting on all the sins that you committed in the last year. It's the Day of Atonement. The old joke is, every day is the Day of Atonement for evangelical Baptists, every day. Every day's Yom Kippur. And there is some truth to that. There is certainly some Christian denominations that overemphasize reflection on sin and atonement. But I think it's very healthy. And as a Jewish friend of mine messaged me, we store up all our sins for one big day and we get it out of our system and then we get back to living. I think that's hilarious. But I'm wishing all of our Jewish listeners a good and a easy fast. I love the idea of a day of humility. And when I visit these college campuses, screaming like rabid dogs at me, you look at them and say, boy, they could use a day where they don't eat and they don't drink and they just think about how they're not God. That would make America a better country. If every single American went even through the practice, they don't even have to believe it, even through the exercise of saying, I have something to atone for. I was not all that I could be over the last year. That would make the country a significantly better country. Significantly better. Saying like, wow, I yelled at my kids too much or showed up late to work or I was too cocky or too prideful. Just that sort of self-examination and introspection, America has become such a prideful nation, which is too bad. All right, let's get to gambling odds here. Is Hillary Clinton going to run for the presidency? Hildebeest, she's looking at Joe Biden, and she's probably saying, look, I'm a lot healthier than him. And that's actually pretty true. And I think Gavin is most likely, but all of a sudden you have the Clinton Global Initiative ramping up again. Really, bringing the band back together. Next thing you know, we're going to have John Podesta on TV. Well, we have. The whole Clinton crime syndicate, those who are still living, who didn't kill themselves, they're going to put the whole Rolling Stones type crew back together. Hillary Clinton focusing on Vladimir Putin, play cut 22.
He hates democracy. He particularly hates the West, and he especially hates us. And he has determined that he can do two things simultaneously. He can try to continue to damage and divide us internally, and he's quite good at it. And sadly, he has a lot of apologists and enablers, in our own country, people who either don't see the danger or dismiss it out of hand, or maybe agree with some of the, positions he's taken on certain things, including his barbaric invasion of Ukraine.
You know, when people start criticizing Donald Trump, I say, you know what? He'll go down on my Mount Rushmore for thanks to preventing that monster from becoming president. He could have resigned after day one. The fact he blocked her ever from becoming president of the United States, God bless him. Hillary Clinton continues. Hillary Clinton says Putin is bad for poisoning people who disagree with him. Play cut 16.
Part of the reason he worked so hard against me is because he didn't think that he wanted me in the White House. So we are where we are, and part of the challenge is to continue to explain to the American public that, you know, the kind of leader Putin is, this authoritarian dictator who literally kills his opposition, kills journalists, poisons people who disagree with him, invades other country, interferes with our election. That is part of the alternative we have to reject in this election.
Vince Foster. I'm sorry. I had to get that out of my system. The Russia hoax lie won't die, but many of Clinton's enemies magically have. It's weird how that works. Yeah, Putin's the problem. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs as you know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.